Welcome to the Trino Community Broadcast.
Hello and welcome to Trino Community Broadcast 70. Can you believe it? It is amazing. And after this soothing voice from Cole, I have sad news. We're going to miss him today. He had something come up accidentally now, just a couple of minutes ago, so he can't make it. But that's okay. We have an amazing guest and a great topic to talk about, the preview UI today. And as you can see here from my screen, like announcement screen, we'll talk about React, JavaScript, Mui, and Lodash, and a whole bunch of other things. It's going to be super exciting. I'll have Peter Costolani from Wise as a guest. For those of you that joined Trino Summit last year or watch the videos later on, you'll see or know that he is a great speaker and has already presented about the data lake at Wise at Trino Summit. And if you're interested, you can check that broad video out as well. But for now, what we have to do is we have to talk about our Trino releases. And it's been another big release. I already hinted at it last time. Trino 470 was sort of like in the pipeline, but just not released at our last Trino community broadcast, but it was already a big one. And now it is out, Trino 470. We were going to cut Trino 471 as well, but there just wasn't much accumulated. I think all the maintainers and contributors are taking a bit of a breather. So we are skipping this week, but I'm sure next week we're going to cut 471. It's going to be super exciting. There's a few things already in the pipeline that are coming up closely. One thing that I'm working on, but we'll talk about this more next time because we have lots to talk about Trino 470. So crazy news. We have two new connectors in one release. I don't think we ever had that happening before. So we have the DuckDB connector. As you know, this DuckDB tool is causing a lot of stir in the community. Everyone loves using it locally, but then when it scales, it's not so great because it's like literally made for small data loads and local experience. But it is still a great tool with great user experience. And we now have a Trino connector thanks to Yuya, for one of our maintainers. And we're hoping to have a Trino community broadcast about that connector sometime soon. The same applies for the new Grafana Loki connector. For those of you that don't know, Grafana Loki is a log storage kind of and retrieval system. That connector is kind of really odd, but also still very useful because what it allows you to do is it allows you to use a query table function to use the Grafana Loki query language to get data out and then use it in Trino. Next up in this release, we have a very cool feature that is allowing you to write a query that goes with session and then select queries. As you know, session properties in Trino, there's two types. We have the global session properties that allow you to override global configuration parameters, and then we have the catalog configuration properties, which allow you to override catalog configuration properties in the session. And typically what you would do is you would use the set command to set that property, then run the query, but then you have to like unset it again, and you would have to know what it was set the first place. So that's kind of a pain if you just want to use it for one query. With this with session syntax, you can basically run it and embed it as part of your query. So it will use the session property setting within that query, but once the query is done, it'll not affect any other queries. So that's really cool. We also raised the minimum runtime requirement of the JDBC driver and the CLI to Java 11. In my opinion, long overdue. Who still uses Java 8? You got to get on with the time. There was just a LinkedIn post a couple of days ago that I stumbled over where someone was comparing Java 11 code to Java 23 and basically mentioned it's a different language. I totally agree. It is much more terse, much more powerful, very nice to write in Java 23. And luckily now with this upgrade to Java 11 for the runtime, we were able to get rid of some dependencies that were just very old and stale and causing us headaches. So now you have to use Java 11 at least for any application that uses the JDBC driver or to use the CLI. But I very much recommend you to use Java 23 or like soon Java 24 anyway, because there's some performance improvements that you only have access to with Java 22 and onwards. So it pays dividends to just use the latest version. This was, by the way, an outcome of long discussions with the community and also our survey that we had. Thank you for everyone who answered. And we also then had a similar outcome for the Kinesis connector, which we removed with the release 470. Seems like no one was using that connector anyway, and it cost us headaches to maintain it. So we got rid of it. And then the last big, big news, I have to share this blog post because I had fun creating this image. with the Trino 470 release, we also throwing out the old legacy file systems, which were based on the little Hadoopy elephant here. they were wrappers on top of the Hadoop libraries that then enabled usage of Azure storage, Google Cloud storage, and Amazon S3. But they were always using those abstractions from HDFS and sort of like shimming it in. We introduced the new native file systems many months ago, like started working on it. David started working on it in 2022. It's been like stable and very performant for a long time now. So we decided to finally deprecate all the properties. So now you will get warnings in your boot up of Trino. Just warnings. It's not a breaking change just yet, but it's definitely very much something you want to take care of and remove those old properties. So those are the properties that are named like, as I have here, hive.azure, hive.cause for cloud object storage. That's the IBM one. Hive GCS for Google Cloud Storage and hive.s3. And there's like a whole bunch of properties that go hive.s3. Blah, 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 blah. If you're using any of those in your catalogs, please get rid of them and change over to the new file system documentation. If you look at the Trino docs here, you'll see in object storage, we don't have the legacy ones documented here at all anymore. That's just the native ones. And there's all the information you need. And this file systems also work consistently for all four lake connectors. So Delta Lake, Hive, Hoodie, and Iceberg. And we got those all. And if you're still stuck with actually using the real HDFS, well, that's fine too. The HDFS file system support will continue to exist, but only for usage with HDFS itself. For the others, please use the new native ones. We will completely remove those properties and the whole code around it in one of the upcoming releases, not just yet. So please do very much let us know what happens when you upgrade. If there's any issues, you find that something that you need to configure is no longer configurable. So we've done this for many months now, or haven't heard anything for a while. We introduced different endpoints for Azure and Google, for example. So a lot of this new functionality is all there. So there should be no issues. But if there are, please make sure to reach out to me or some other maintainers in the core dev channel on Trino Slack. And then we can tackle more things. This blog post also has all links to all sorts of documentation, as you see here, and the connectors. And that is already it. I also would love to talk about Trino Gateway 14, but can't because we haven't released it yet. This is going to be super exciting. We are working towards this. There's a lot, it's packed with new features. But instead of doing that, I am going to do something much more exciting than talking about a release that doesn't exist, and that is I'm welcoming Peter. Hey, thank you for joining me today, Peter.
Hey, hi.
Peter is a long-term Trino advocate and enthusiast, and he's done some amazing work, and we're going to talk about that today. Do you want to introduce yourself a bit and your work on Trino and all your background? I noticed you were doing Ring Ring, for example. That's kind of cool.
That was ages ago.
I know. History doesn't die.
Thing is, yeah, so I work at Voice. I'm a data engineer for 30 years. My skills background primarily is more about data and analytics. So, and at Voice, we started using Trino a couple of years ago, and it evolves. And I just found that project in general is fun, not only to run and maintain it, but was also trying to contribute it as recently. Luckily, or not luckily, but surprising. So now I'm ended up as a contributor of a user interface or UI developer, something like that. But it's, I'm not a UI developer at all. I'm a data engineer. But yeah, it's a funny story how I ended up like that. And well, the story is that I wanted to send a PR, a small PR, to change a little thing on the UI. And you into the details that, oh, I realized, all right, it's a little bit behind the current trends. And all right. And then we ended up discussing about what about if we try to create a new web app from scratch. So this is where we are today. And yeah, I'm happy to present.
Yeah, awesome. So let's talk about for history, for everyone's context. Trino always had a web UI pretty much from the start, but that web UI is very old, has been not really designed. It kind of just evolved over time, and it had different contributors on it that actually ended up using quite different like tooling for different screens. So it's not very modern. Times have moved on a lot, and but it's very powerful. Like there's, at least for a developer. So that's one of the problems to some degree. It's very powerful for someone that knows Trino already and knows the internals and isn't getting scared away by a lot of the lingo. Like if you look at the details that are available for a query, it gets pretty complex if you see the query plan and all that kind of stuff, right? Have you been using it quite a bit, Peter?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's the standard tool. And yeah, like you said, that it does the job really, really well and really, really stable. So nothing wrong with that, basically. Functionality-wise, it's just awesome. It does the job really well.
Yeah. One of the problems that you also mentioned and that others have as well is it would be nice to have a query editor, right? Like, so there is no feature that allows you to go just write a query. Like, you're already logged in, you're already talking to Trino. Why can't you just write a little SQL query and run it? You can't. So that requires people to context switch and like run some other tool. Obviously, like Trino has lots of client tools available, the CLI and dbeaver and like 500 others basically that you can all see on the website. But it still requires context switching. So for some quick troubleshooting and stuff like that, in terms of also authentication and so on, sometimes it would be nice to just do that. And I think that was also one of the motivators. You thought that would be nice in the long term. And we wouldn't want to do that in the old UI because I know me and Mateusz mostly try to keep that up to date now and then with dependencies. And it has been pretty hairy sometimes. There were security issues in some of the libraries because they got so old. And then the update on the JavaScript side is not fun. The interesting part is other people, like not just you, Peter, but also Mateusz, myself, and others, we all maintain the UI sort of, but none of us really have a heavy JavaScript background. But we get along. We make it work, right?
Yeah. Well, what you said regarding the web interface to run a query, that's an interesting one. I believe, or I thought, and we are still far from that. But it's really good to hear from you as well, because we at Wise also looking for that capability, the feature, because consecutively we just don't like that everybody can join Trino by from using their laptop using Jupyter. So then I think there are plenty of other use cases to have nice to have too. It would be really, really great to have a user interface to run the query in the same UI where we can monitor things.
I'm in contact with a potential contribution where we might make that happen, where we get a pretty powerful one contributed to the project, and we'll see how that goes. But we'll definitely make it work one way or another. So with your new UI, we have a good base now. So one of the motivating factors, I think, also was that you saw the Trino Gateway UI, wasn't it?
We started building out quite our Trino cluster sets getting bigger and bigger. So we started using the gateway and realized that, oh, the gateway has some a bit more modern UI. It's a, well, I would say it's more usual nowadays, but the Trino web UI is, yeah, like you said, it does the job, but it look and feel just really different. So why we try to make something unique, and well, yeah, this is how it started at, well, and yeah, we had a good conversation at the beginning that, all right, let's kick it off and try to make a new UI with all these new fancy features that we have in mind. What's going to be the look and feel? Do we want to take the look and feel from the, we want to keep the current look and feel, or we want to take the look and feel from the gateway, or we want to introduce something new? After all, we ended up with using Material.
Yeah, the gateway UI also had a funny story, because obviously we took off Presto Gateway and sort of merged all the different forks from different companies and people, but we still had the old UI in Trino Gateway, and everyone also didn't like that one, let's just say. And then out of the blue, Peng Wei contributed a whole new replacement UI, and we basically just threw the old one away completely immediately, because at that stage, Trino Gateway was still like ramping up to be a tool that is used more widely, and so there was no point maintaining that old UI that barely anyone used, and when everyone is still rapidly iterating. So we were able to just replace the old UI completely, because it was also not very feature rich. In Trino, we are in a bit of a different situation, right? Like, maybe tell us how did this start for you? You saw that code base, and then I know because I was involved, but maybe tell us how we ended up getting the UI and getting to the current status where we're now.
So you want me to tell that how I find the UI in general, or how did I end up?
Well, just how we started, right? Like we just added a separate preview UI on a separate URL, and then it didn't really do anything first, but that's not where we're at now.
So we spent a lot of time at the beginning just to create to select the build tools, for example. We selected Vite and we decided, okay, let's go with TypeScript, React, the most recent one. But we also had to spend a lot of time to integrate that with the Maven build script, because we wanted to make sure that if by time it starts evolving, we had to prepare that if we reach a certain point where we have at least feature parity with the newer and the old UI, it will be easy to switch over to, let's say, at one point you want to make default. Currently, it's optional having the preview UI, but at some stage you want to switch over and make that.
Yeah, let me maybe show people. So we have the legacy UI documentation here. It's not very much, but like you basically say web UI enabled. That's by default, and then you get the web UI. Peter can show you what the legacy UI looks like later. We don't have any screenshots in the documentation, but there's not much documentation here. But it is enabled by default. The preview UI is like the other way around. So the preview UI is disabled by default, and you have to turn it on. So basically, there is no problem if we mess something up and the UI doesn't yet do what it needs to do and messes up your data. It is a preview, as the name says. We are getting it ready. We ultimately want to replace the legacy UI, but we don't have feature parity yet. So in your configuration, you have to switch this on in config.properties, and then you can access it, and it's on a separate path. So you have UI/preview, and then what happens, Peter?
Yeah, so the development happened in a new URL. So everything starts with /previews, making sure we are not disturbing the existing UI at all, and we can keep developing until we reach at least feature parity. But we had to spend quite some time on it, especially with the VS script to make that happen, to build it optionally. We also created a new testing class. Thanks a lot for Mateusz for that. He helped you a lot with that. We also had to spend a lot of time with introducing new authentication endpoints. That was quite a big chunk of work before we started to do anything really fancy on the UI. So the current UI is using a lot of, not a lot of, but a few static HTML files to show error pages or authentication pages, login screens. But we wanted to make the new one to be a real single page app. So we had to introduce some new endpoints to talk JSON, talk to the authentication at the same time, making all the authentication. We have quite a few, you know, so we had to make one by one to work with a single page app using this new endpoint API.
Yeah, so that was a pretty big effort, actually. If you see in the documentation, we are basically supporting all the authentication types now that the other UI supports, right? Like, we are like completely on parity. So the default password one is there. Then we also have the fixed user authentication and all the others like Kerberos, even Kerberos, which is kind of crazy. But I think the important one is also OAuth2. That's pretty commonly used. Certificate potentially, but we basically support all of them. So that's really awesome.
Yes. So once that finished, we created few demo pages. We created a layout. We tried. I can show that soon.
Yeah, let's have a look. Maybe if you want to share your screen. I see you already showing. So this is the old UI in all its glory.
So everybody knows this. And so this is the current UI. So I'm running it locally now, so that's fine. /UI. And this is the new UI, so we always have, that's what we mentioned, we always have this /preview that we can enable in the config properties. And if it's enabled, everybody can use a /preview, but it's running in parallel, so nothing can go wrong. Mm-hmm. So recording the basic layout,
so we have this nice modern top view, plus the left-hand navigation, right?
Yeah, so left-hand navigation with a few items. Hopefully by time we keep this growing. And I'd love to see at some stage something like a SQL runner or something.
SQL console editor or whatever,
We have some fancy features here like dark and light mode.
Oh, cool.
Light mode is, more enterprise friendly. The dark mode is a
is that the distinction these days? The night hackers and the daylight workers, is that what I mean?
Oh yeah, what I was really missing, and we added into this that in the old UIs I never really know who am I when I got there.
Mm-hmm.
Because many times I'm using different users anyway, maybe it's only my problem, but
no, it's not.
All right, so now we can. So now I'm using the fixed authentication type. So I there is no login screen right now, but trust me, that does work. So in the config, I just set the fixed user battle preview user. Now we can see, and later on, if you want, we can make the profile. Yeah, similar to what we can see it in the Trino gateway. It is trying to be as responsive as possible. So, the layout is pretty much copied from the existing.
So you have the same information available here, basically, right? Just a bit like more modern looking.
And it's trying to be as responsive as possible. So change the size. So hopefully it's working even on mobile phones. But we have three pages for now, or no, two. So we have this common dashboard with common metrics. We have this query details. I want to talk a little bit about that further.
Yeah.
But we have the workers page. So, again, same functionality that we have here.
Yeah, that actually is not that, I want to say the workers page is probably less than a year or a bit more old in the legacy UI. So we used to not have that the longest time, and you already caught up and have that here. So that's really useful to have as well.
This is not a different. So now it is a different page.
There's not much there.
That's a joke. It's just not how we built the new UI. We tried to make everything as a single page. Just one. And query details, again, we try to give the same functionality that we can in the filters that we can see in the existing UI. Actually, this is the button where it all started, at least for me. But I found this finish button always a bit unusual for me. There was never known which button is active, which one is deactive.
Yeah, it's always the default is kind of surprising because the default doesn't show what you would expect, right? The default shows not what's finished, right? So you're always like, oh yeah, what actually finished? You have to, the first thing you always is like you press the button.
Yeah, which is again, it does a job. It's really, really yeah. It's just a unusual experience for me. And I got this little PR just to change this to be a toggle button or something like that. But
yeah, yeah.
It ended up with it.
You chewed off more work, which is fine. This is quite amazing to see, honestly. And I hope many people in the watching today also enjoy this.
This search bar a little bit changed the query filters because it's changed. So this is the same. At the moment, this is a little bit different. So we don't have this subgroup here. We have order field here. We can customize it if we don't like it. We don't have this up and down arrow similar to this one in the sort. Because select that, okay, I want to sort by execution time, descending, I need to play around with the arrows. That's fine. But this, yeah.
Yeah, that's nice anyway.
So I need to select the ascending, descending, but pretty much the same functionality. And yeah, these settings saved in the local storage. So once you set something, next time you come back, it will remember to your last settings.
Yeah, it's set in the local storage of your browser, right? So it's not set with your account on the server anyway. It's local storage on your browser,
yep,
basically.
It's in the browser. It remains in the browser.
Yeah.
Then I don't know what the preference here. If you want, we can change it to to be active only after until the session. So until we close this tab. I don't know which one's better. Again, waiting for feedback from everybody.
Yeah, that's an important call out, actually. Like, we want people to let us know what they're looking for. Obviously, we are trying to. So maybe let me just show quickly. Where are we? So if I go here. So we have this roadmap issue where we sort of like where Peter filed the original idea, and then we discussed a bit what our goals are. And here Peter is taking care of sort of like organizing all the things we still want to do and that are there. And you see here, there's lots of things that are in the web UI, the legacy one that we have not ported, or mostly Peter actually have not ported. But that's one of the callouts. Like, if anyone is interested and has like some experience with JavaScript or wants to dive in, we'll dive into looking at the code base with Peter shortly. But we do want other people to help us here, right? Like, we don't want this just to be Peter's only thing. Mateusz, myself are helping a little bit, and other maintainers are looking here and there. But ultimately, we want this to be a community effort. And this is also important because, you know, typically when you're involved with the Trino project, most people have a Java background because, well, the whole code base is in Java. But you don't really need to have a Java background much to work on this. Like, a lot of the work can be done just in the front end, and obviously some of the web services can be written, but we can also help with that. Peter, you've basically done both when necessary so far, right?
So, yes, and I would say that most of the Java bits has been done, that was primarily the authentication bits and it doesn't matter. But at this stage, it's a TypeScript clone.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so our plan ultimately is to have everything that is in the legacy UI ported over and with equal or better functionality and hopefully also usability and look and feel. I mean, look and feel is already like miles better, obviously, and like usability as well. So we want to keep that trend going. And then at some stage, we're going to flip over and get rid of the old UI. That's still a while away because, as you can see here, there's lots of work still to be done. But maybe, Peter, you want to maybe dive a little bit, show us a bit what's, if there's anything else in the UI that you want to show, maybe like I see the query display here, select one. How does that look like if there's like a more complex query, for example?
So, yeah, let's have a look. So, well, I have a client here. I can try to run the... it's not going to work here. So, yeah, it comes pretty much the same way.
Okay, but it does some syntax highlighting, like it's like recognizes that it's SQL and like yeah. Makes it look a bit nicer, right?
Yeah, and again, yeah, we started that with Mateusz, and well, again, someone doesn't like the colors, we can change it. Selected more mostly, and yeah. We thought that, okay, that looks nice, so pretty much. Not exactly the same color coding as syntax highlighting that we have in the UI, but I can play around with that. I'm not an artist, so.
I don't know, like this UI looks pretty good. There must be some artist in you.
but if we still have some time, I would love to show some technical background. Or
yeah, I think that would be great.
Finds it that, and if keen to join to the effort and want to contribute that, I have some good news.
Yeah, that would be great. So show us where we're at. Like, where do we have the people go? Where's the code base even set? And like, what's involved? What are the components?
So if you want to run it locally, so yeah, regarding technologies, it is, like I said, it's a single page. You're actually using React 18. React 19 just came in December. I give it a quick try to upgrade it and using 19. I think we are not there yet because some of our main dependencies not upgraded that to 19. We can consider to switch from 18 to 19 very soon, I guess, if you want to be on the latest, greatest. So yeah, apart from React, it's using Material UI, as we discussed. For build tools, it's using Vite. Yeah, you perhaps know. Actually, I really like it. Yeah, I know this. And it comes with or brings some really nice features like hot refresh, which comes really handy for during development. I will show that in action. And yes, it is using TypeScript. But if you want to run it locally, this is what you will need: your web UI preview query runner. This will spin up a.
So where is that class to be found? So the whole thing is in Trino Web UI, which is a component where?
This is in, this query runner is in testing.
Okay. So that's in the testing module in the Trino codebase itself. The project itself, like the actual source code is in core Trino Web UI, right?
Yeah, and the source code of the UI is in the core Trino Web UI source main resources web app preview.
Okay, so there's only one web UI folder, but we have two web UIs. So how is the separation there? Like there's source main Java, and then there's web app and web app preview. So you're saying that Java code is the same and shared across the two UIs, basically?
Yes, yeah. So Java is the same, and we put the two UI components into resources. In the web app preview, so this is a Vite TypeScript project. This is the root directory of the Vite project.
Okay, so you can go in there on the command line or whatever and run some commands.
Yes, exactly. So, and yeah, I'm just there. And web UI source maybe server preview. So you can use the usual commands, npm commands, npm install.
So for people that want to like play with this, obviously they can watch this episode, but is this also in the readme of that directory or somewhere so people can find out?
I need to double check. Maybe this, yeah, we have this readme here. And this details all the steps, how to spin up thing, but it requires two steps. We need to run this query runner to spin up the Trino server. Once that's done, then we need to run npm run dev. And And hopefully it will start.
And are you on a Windows or a Mac machine there?
This is Mac.
And you just installed npm in that folder via brew or?
I use NVM.
NVM, okay.
But, well, once it is up and running, it will give you a URL. Just click on it and you can start developing. And I want to show this watch-reload function, which I think it's really cool. So let's say if you just want to switch this label active workers, go to this React component. This is here. And yeah, changing this label to something else. Just need to save the file and it automatically appears in the browser.
Oh, wow.
That applies to layout as well. So if you want to play around that, how to organize it, just need to save the file and it will appear automatically in the browser. It's much more fun developing in this way, I think. It's pretty usual nowadays,
mm-hmm.
my experience. Unfortunately, this was not available in the current UI.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's quite old.
Yeah.
But I think it's a pretty good improvement and the development experience.
Yeah, this is massive. Yeah. And like this is possible because this query web UI runner class, web UI runner class basically fires up Trino, like the backend basically. And then the HTML is like the static React app that sits on top, right? So it just talks to the same web service.
Yeah. And everything is configured to use. So when I run this npm run dev command, if you talk and everything configured in the right places to talk to the server that's fired by this preview query runner, so no need to do some, let's say, some magic or some configuration.
So when that query runner thingy runs, can you like what catalogs or whatever are available if you need to do some testing or something like that?
Yeah, actually, this is the TPCH.
Okay, so it has to. Yeah, okay, so that's good enough in the sense that you can run TPCH queries, which can be pretty complex and long running, and then you can, you know. Yes.
Show schemas from TPCH. Anyway, yeah, it brings up this, and this is.
I think you have snow.
Okay, so this is good enough for development. Previously, I was playing around with the full development servers that the cage is to spin up. So
If you want to play around with this in more detail, from what I understand and what I've been playing around with, you can also just build the whole Trino project, like do a build with skip tests or something, and then you get the whole tarball in the Trino server directory in the target directory, and then you can just do a tarball install on that and like do whatever you want with that, right?
Yes, if you do Maven install, then it will be built anyway, whatever you said, it's valid.
I've done this as well for testing it and like playing around with it. So you basically get a tarball, and you can also build a Docker container and use that. So, and it's in there. You just have to make sure that this configuration, and you see that here in the coordinator properties as well. So there's this web UI preview enabled true. That's important. And then, you're setting the user there. So what are those two users doing?
Say again?
What are those two users doing? The web UI authentication type and web UI user?
So, like I said, this is that enables the slash preview and the new UI. And this is the authentication type to be fixed. But it applies all the other authentication type.
Okay, cool. So can you log out and then try the other ones? Because there is a login screen there now, right?
Yes, we can try, but I don't know if that's going to work with this setup because authentication requires. Do you know from how the settings how to enable HTTPS?
Theoretically, that's one of those common things. Like Trino requires HTTPS whenever any authentication is on. But the web UI, if you fire it up without authentication and with HTTP, it just grays out the password and you can just type any username. It's just basically like no, there's no authentication, but you're still logging in with a user. So if you try, it might work actually that if you log out where you are now, like what you have running now, if you log out.
The logout button is disabled because
it's fixed. Oh, yeah. Okay.
But do you know the settings from heart, how we can change it to?
I think it would. It's just basic, maybe, or I forgot what the name is. But
oh yeah, same here.
and then just get rid of the user. Was it like the user?
Like this, it's basic. Like this.
I think it's basic.
That's a good try.
We can look up in the docs as well. Hang on, let me check. Administration.
It doesn't like the basic.
Oh, it's form, sorry. FORM.
Oh, form.
Yeah.
That rings a bell. And what's going to be the username? It doesn't matter.
It's like that like generic one where the password is grayed out and you can type anything. And then in the form, you just type whatever, like Peter or whatever. At least that's when you run it from the tarball. Maybe there's some requirement of authentication.
Yeah, that's what I was worrying that it requires now the password authentication properties.
Anyway, that's something to play with.
Sorry, I didn't prepare for that. But yeah, trust me that, and there's a very, very 99% chance that it works with all the authentication type that we support in Gino. If that's the case, then please let us know and we're going to fix it.
Yeah, and also, like, I know that the basic in, like, the form validation actually works because I tried that from a tarball. Like, when you build the whole Trino, then you get that and you have that as the default. So maybe want to show us a bit what the code base looks like? So what's the different folders we have? We have source and then...
Yes, so... Well, it's a standard with project structure again. But the main thing is on the source, as you said. One of them, the most important thing is that it is a components where you can see all the real components. Everything is TypeScript. And we have here something here. Oh, maybe it's good to talk about that. This utils.ts is something that mostly copied from the old UI. So in the old UI, we have a similar utils.javascript.js, pretty long file. Not very long, but with a lot of functions. And we're slowly moving across what we needed for the new UI. Maybe we'll end up that it will be equivalent to the same. Exactly the same, maybe not. Just something that might be worth to mention.
So it looked like that's doing like formatting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All sorts of helper functions. Do you want to maybe show? So I know that we had this in the past before we had any functionality. You had this demo components page. I think you still have that, right? But it's hidden or something like that.
Yeah. Yes, it's still available.
So before Peter implemented like actual like components and actual working stuff, we sort of like tried to implement a few things and just figure out what it looks like. And this allows us to troubleshoot as well. Like, you know, things are actually visible. Like in the Trino Gateway UI, for example, we had a bug where when you switch between light and dark mode, some labels on some images on like diagrams ended up staying white, and you basically had white text on white background, which makes it invisible, right? So this is helping us a little bit for debugging those kind of things.
Yes, and yeah, like I said, this is where it all started. So started using Material UI and just tried to put together some of the basic components into one page. and just see that, all right, this is how the buttons will look like. He also played a bit with the colors. Again, I don't know who, I'm not a color enthusiast at all. I don't know what color. Yeah. So, again, this is our palette, and these are the built-in colors that we can play with. And wanted to see the actual look and feel of the default components that we can put to other components later.
Yeah, in terms of the design, we kind of leaned a little bit into the Trino colors that we use on the website, but all of that is up for grabs, right? Like, who knows, we might even change the Trino website at some stage if we get around to it.
Do you know how close we are with how much we are in sync with the web page? Because
not that close. We could be closer, but yeah, all of this is a work in progress. But like, for example, if I switch over to like here, you have a look at this page, and now I switch to sharing my screen. You see the top here where it says web UI properties, that's the same kind of blue. And so it's like the same idea that we have a blue back, blue top bar, and then this is a bit thicker and uses a nicer Commander Banban image. It's a bit bigger and like a bit fatter font, so it's a bit more readable. So,
but the web page is using, and the documentation using Material UI.
Well, yes. So the web page is using what's called Jekyll and Material components sort of in it, but it's not like, it's a static website, so it's not like that. So it's like quite a bit different. And then the documentation uses a Material theme for a publishing tool called Sphinx, which is also kind of old, but still works well. So, and there's a theme for that, that's like a Material theme. But like, yeah, there's all these different stacks. It's difficult to keep them in top. Also, that's one of the distinctions, by the way, from Trino Gateway. We decided for the Trino one to use Material UI, because it's a, and in Trino Gateway, we use, now I forgot the name, another component library, but it's otherwise very similar. But you also see here, like the charts are flowing around and are moving. So how like when you go on the dashboard here for a second again, when you run queries and stuff, this updates on the fly all the time, right?
That's good, right? Should be. No, we lost all the query because I restarted the server.
That's all right.
But if I run this, it should come back. Yeah. Like in the current UI, all the functionality was copied over there. So.
Cool. So what's the plans for the future from your perspective now?
Well, I still find this a nice little project to me, my hobby, as a hobby project. But it would be nice to find somebody to help with this.
No, definitely. I think Mateusz and myself are trying, and Victor here mentioned it would be great if there was an error to write queries in AI. Is there a plan to do that? Yes, we discussed this before. That is a plan, and it is a wish, and we are working towards that. There is a component set up that might work for this soon, and stay tuned. But please help us with all the other aspects. Obviously, as Peter said, there's lots of screens still to be replicated. Want to go over to the legacy UI for a second? Actually, you don't have that running now, right? Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, so like if you look at the web legacy UI here and then you go for a specific query, oh, you have to run a query now. But there's like explain plan and like diagramming and all sorts of stuff like that. Like all this stuff for each query is still to be done, right? Like you see there's the whole output, the live plan, there's a lot of fun to be had for someone that is a JavaScript programmer and wants to work on this stuff. There's still a long way to go. And we do want to keep all that functionality because especially like Trino developers make heavy usage of that. You are muted, by the way, Peter.
Oh, sorry about that. Classic mistake. So yes, these functionalities are crucial. We need that. Everybody needs that
Yeah.
We want to move that over to new UI, so a lot of things to do.
Yeah. So currently, when you go and click on a query, you see a screen, or you see no, or is there no screen yet?
This oh. needs to be a link.
Okay, so that's the next step, to make that a link. So where are you at? I know there's like, is there like this, what you're building and showing here, is that like the current master in Trino, or is that what's in 470 or?
470. Max a V code from in the main branch.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, 470, 471, something like that.
Yeah. But is there any outstanding PR that you're looking at the moment, working on at the moment, or?
Yeah, so I have a PR, haven't been merged, basically this part.
Okay.
But once it is done, I would love to go further and start doing something with the query pages, basically.
Cool, yeah, no, that'll this be excellent. Not
this exactly, I'm a bit afraid about.
Well, when I don't even know what component it is. I just know that one of them is like a completely different framework than the rest of the UI. So I know that that caused us headaches in the past. Cool. All right. What other things do we want to talk about this web UI? Let me check. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Anything else you wanted to show or tell us about the UI?
Nothing specifically, to be honest, but happy to answer a question if there's any.
Yeah, awesome. One thing to mention, there is a Trino Slack channel called Web UI in which we chat about these things as well. But obviously, a lot of it just goes also on in the roadmap issue that I have linked in the show notes, and the code base is right there in the Trino Web UI folder in Trino. On master. Cool. So what's next for you otherwise? Are you working on any other exciting stuff with Trino, Peter?
Well, so again, I'm doing this UI only as a hobby, as a side project in my free time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm mostly involved in creating a multi-cluster environment for the company.
Cool. So you are also a Trino gateway.
Yeah. Trino gateway on top on multiple clusters. And we expect a lot of queries to hit Trino on the company.
That's exciting. Well, good to see that Trino is getting power usage out of it, and hopefully we get this UI going. And just as an announcement, I'm hoping to arrange a bit of a web developer sync on the Trino side, maybe pulling together the people from Trino Gateway that work on the UI there, you, Mateusz, myself, and maybe other newbies that want to like work on JavaScript and UI components in Trino, also towards potentially talking about the potential sort of like web UI editor console, whatever you want to call it, to run queries and maybe even look at what are the existing catalogs and schemas to do code completion and all that kind of stuff. So there's stuff to talk about there as a team, for those of you that are very technically inclined. Stay tuned, I will announce that once we set something up. And then hopefully we'll make some inroads. The other side we also want to mention is on the Trino side, we have the Trino JavaScript client. That also needs some work. Specifically, that one does not support all the authentication types yet. So that is something that we need to have done so that we can potentially use the JavaScript client in the UI and whatever for those kind of aspects. If it's embedded in the UI, it won't matter, but generally for other applications, that's something that would be useful as well. So if people want to write, say, a separate standalone React application that accesses Trino for themselves, then they could use the JavaScript client, and we want to get that improved as well. So there's lots of opportunity for JavaScript developers to help us out, and we would love to hear from you. All right, Peter, I think that is it. Doug is saying that this looks great, and I totally agree. Thanks for chiming in and watching, Doug. That is it for today. Thank you again for joining us. And I will just do a few announcements, and then we'll run this out. Any last words before we kick you out, Peter?
Keep up working on Trino, everybody.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you again. All right, that was awesome. Really exciting to see this UI, right? Like, such a big difference it makes when the UI is not bleary, and like you can change the color, and things are moving and like are fresh and useful. So we hope to do this more development on this UI and hopefully hear from you on Trino Slack or wherever. Further announcement, what's happening otherwise, I wanted to just mention, rounding out here, we do have Trino Contributor Call happening in 2 weeks' time on the 27th. And then we also have Trino Community Broadcast 71 coming up also on the 27th. And this time Jan Vaas is going to join us to talk about the Faker connector. As you saw in the demo today earlier, we use the TPCH connector because it sort of like generates data, but it generates data statically on a specific schema. Well, the Faker connector is kind of like the next step. It allows you to create any fake data on the fly based on your definition of sort of like fake tables, and very, very useful for demos and a lot of fun. Jan has been working very hard on that with Ronak and others. Really great job on that connector. It's a fun tool to use and play with, and I'm sure Jan is going to give us a great demo because he's also a regular speaker. He presented about the Helm chart that he's also heavily maintaining and a champion of at Trino Summit. If you're interested in that, also make sure you check out the blog post there. For those of you that are not aware, I'm just going to quickly show you. There is the Trino website at trino.io. And here we have the Out with the Old File System blog post. But then here we also have the Trino 2024 and Beyond blog post that has the user survey that's still open. And the Trino Summit resources here show you the links. And there's the one from Jan as well as the one from Peter. Here's the one from Peter. He presented with Abdullah Al-Kawatra. And then I think Jan's is further down, but it was a great Trino Summit, but the videos are still live. So don't miss the opportunity to check them out. The slides are available as well. And there's some really cool stuff happening there. Yeah. Thank you everyone for joining me today. I think last things to worth mentioning is our thanks go out to Starburst.
Thank you to our sponsor, Starburst Data, for helping to make the Trino Community Broadcast happen.
Because they make this show happening with me running the events here. And hopefully next time we get to see Cole again, and Jan from Starburst is going to join us. So it's going to be awesome again. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you for tuning in to the Trino Community Broadcast, brought to you by Starburst Data.